Hello and welcome to Screamcast, a horror podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Olga, and today we're discussing American Horror Story Season 6, entitled Roanoke, I guess, Episode 2, Chapter 2.
Yeah, the most exciting title for an episode ever.
I know. It's just like there's no bam to it.
Well, do you think the only reason they named them by chapters was because they wanted to keep the secrets alive?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think it makes sense. Still to keep everything a secret.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I don't know for sure if it's Roanoke or My Roanoke Nightmare.
No, it is Roanoke. They literally say Roanoke in the promo material.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they say American Horror Story Roanoke. Yeah. So, that's interesting.
Well, we don't have a theme song still.
Well, instead we have those openings that are supposed to be like the openings of My Roanoke Nightmare, where they show pieces of the episode ahead of time, which I'm not a huge fan of.
I don't like that.
Yeah. I wish we had an actual...
gives away stuff.
Yeah. Especially when it's like, mostly this show is just throwing out random crazy stuff. If you know the random crazy stuff that's coming, it makes it less random and crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, well, that's going to connect back eventually.
Yeah. So what did you think of this episode?
So I saw it a little bit before you, and I texted you like, I was a little bored.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stick to that. I really don't think it followed up on the scariness of episode one. And I know a lot of people weren't even scared by episode one, but yeah. I was thrown off. And not even the beginning, that was a direct continuation,
yeah,
was really scary to me. I was more curious. I will say that it definitely had its highlights.
Mm.
So it wasn't a total loss.
Yeah, I was disheartened by this follow-up to the premiere, because I thought the premiere was pretty solid. And so it's too bad that it wasn't like this was a bad episode, but it was so reminiscent of, it felt like we were retreading ground we'd already covered both in episode one and in Murder House.
Yeah.
And I'm leaving episode two almost thinking, it was this idea a better idea for a movie than it was for a season of television? And I don't know that it is an idea that can sustain itself and feel fresh.
I'm still counting on it not being the entire season.
I think you're out of luck.
I'm sure I am.
Well,
but...
I mean, maybe not completely out of luck as far as, like, there might be things post the TV show.
Yeah.
Like, with the actors playing the talking head people. Should we call those, like, the subjects versus the reenactors?
Yeah, let's
okay,
do that.
Okay, so the subject, I think there could be stuff with the subjects after they film My Roanoke Nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, I think this is the show.
Well, that's the thing, though, that the reenactors are kind of the actual
characters.
Main cast.
Yeah.
Like, they're the real draws, I would say, of this show. So
yeah.
I'm kind of inclined to believe that it'll be the flip of what you said, where it'll actually be the reenactors.
How does
that
even work? Well, then it is this all season, then.
I guess. I'm just... The reason I say that I wouldn't be surprised still if it made a change is because there are tone shifts in Murphy seasons of shows.
Yeah. But this is the format.
I know.
You know, it's not just the tone.
It's just still not fun. I'm still not having fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, for me, the first half of the episode was weaker than the second half. Which I think I said last week, too, now that I think back to it.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah. I thought that the opening was frustrating to me, both with just how the characters were acting. You know, Shelby sort of had this big turnaround from last week. She wanted out of the house, reasonably so.
And then she sees...
this crazy, crazy cult people... colonial Roanoke people.
Mm-hmm.
And then she suddenly is like, we're gonna fight. And I'm like, if anything, I think this should reaffirm that you have to get the hell out of this place.
Yeah.
Like, and so it felt like an unearned change of heart.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes the character seem less intelligent.
I agree.
And similarly, I felt like Lee was a big downgrade in this episode compared to the premiere, who in the premiere I felt like she had a solid backstory, mm-hmm. and a tragic, you know, layer to her, but that was kind of like the backstory and the present day of who she was a tough hard ass who had seen some shit and knew her shit and was smart and was, you know, not afraid. And in this episode, she was just kind of a mess.
All right. So how stupid is she to bring her 8-year-old or 7-year-old daughter to a place that is confirmed to have had people break into it like several days before? Yeah.
Well, I think it was like the day before, maybe two.
Maybe two.
We don't know how long Shelby was in the hospital, I guess.
Well, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
She knows people broke in.
Yeah.
She knows that they found this pyre, like, afterwards. Shelby and Matt found the burning, like, pig head, pig entrails, and pointed it out to
that,
the police.
That might have been after she had already brought her daughter here the first time, anyway.
The first time. Yeah. Okay. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
People broke into that damn house, and the police didn't believe him / didn't find evidence.
Yeah.
You know people were there. You saw it with your own eyes.
Yeah.
You know, fine, I understand you want to spend time with your daughter, but, like, go spend a day in town or something like that. It made no sense for the character.
Yeah. Throughout this episode, it was one of those things where, like, maybe I can sympathize with her a little bit and understand why she's making these bad decisions. And it certainly helps that the subject version is admitting that they're bad decisions.
Yeah, that's true.
That helps. But it doesn't make me like the character, and it doesn't make me like the writers who are taking a character who I thought was strong and making them a total mess so quickly. Because that's the other thing is, when you set up a character who has addiction problems, they are a ticking time bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is a TV show, at some point they're going to struggle with addiction, they're not just going to have that as their backstory.
Yeah.
That shouldn't happen the next episode. Unless she's, like, gonna die in episode 3, you know, like, you could build this up a little bit, get her to a breaking point, and then have her fall apart. Instead, it was just 0 to 60. None of these characters, none of them are, like, straight up unlikable, but none of them are very intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things we talked about, is that horror should be sort of, and at least I think when horror works the best, is it's sort of a metaphorical or an allegorical layer to extending the horror within the characters themselves,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, the conflict that's actually going on, we're manifesting it.
Yeah.
Similar, like, the best sci-fi is actually taking sci-fi elements to tell you something about real life.
Yes.
This just seems like balls to the wall, we're just doing shit to do shit. And there's no real character conflicts beside, I mean, there is the stuff about, in this episode, I guess there's conflict about her losing her daughter.
Right.
And she does lose, I guess in that way, I'm wrong a little bit, but it's still, it just feels like I'm not really that invested in that story.
Yet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, they don't bring us to a medium part of it. It's not like her and her daughter, and then things are okay, and then bad things happen.
Yeah, exactly.
It's her and her daughter, and immediately shit starts going crazy.
And also, immediately, her daughter is this tropic, annoying character, where they're trying to make me scared of her by having a little kid say things that are scary, and this is, like, the most obvious thing you can do with a child in a horror show.
Imaginary friend.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't give the character, the kid, anything besides the trope. Like, she doesn't have a personality, really.
So, here's an interesting thing I read earlier. In season one, Murder House.
Yeah.
It was subtitled Murder House post the end of the season, but this is very much reflecting Murder House.
Yeah.
And it's also reflecting it in that the daughter in Murder House, her name was Violet.
Yeah.
And this daughter's name is Flora.
Oh.
So,
fascinating.
So this is just kind of an interesting thing of, like, they're not the same, not really, but
Violet was more interesting.
Violet was more interesting, but but also just the idea of, like, they're seeing ghosts or something.
Well, So the big thing that really made it feel like Murder House was the murder on the wall from the ghost-like nurses.
Nurses that had lived in Murder House too.
I mean, so that's the funny thing is that it's a weird thing because I do think the episode hit its stride when we got that video from the professor.
Mm-hmm.
But that also was when it was the most, like, we're retreading old ground. It was just that his story was creepy, and it was he was a fun actor, you know?
So,
like,
so that's the thing. That's Dennis O'Hare.
Yeah.
And he's pretty much almost always my favorite part of American Horror Story, or one of my favorite parts.
Was he in season one?
Yes.
Well, who was he in season one?
He played the guy with the burned face.
Oh, yeah. He was fun.
Oh, he's so good. Last season, he was my favorite part of Hotel. Yeah. Played Liz Taylor. Yeah. And Angela Bassett was... So that's the thing. Angela Bassett, even if who plays the reenactor for Lee, she's got a meatier part this season.
Yeah.
Like, you know, exploring the substance abuse, losing your child.
Yeah.
All of that. Losing your child, potentially, really, in that her kid might be dead now.
Yeah.
Considering they found her sweater up a tree.
Up a tree.
Up a tree without a paddle. That's
Why
not the right...
Why you go up a tree?
What?
Why you just go up a
Is
tree?
Is that a saying?
No, I was making it a saying.
All right. but last season, she played a former blaxploitation actress.
Oh.
And while that was fun,
yeah,
it was also like, Angela Bassett can do better than this. Yeah, come on, come on. So here it's like, well, she's doing better, but...
That's the thing is that I just find this kind of boringly unsettling. Because that's the thing is... if there wasn't the format of seeing the subjects outside, and there wasn't the whole reenactment thing, then I honestly think it would be more interesting. Even though I think the format is fun, it does make it so the most I feel is unsettled because I know these actors are fine.
Yeah.
And so instead I'm just seeing them get freaked out by random BS that comes into Ryan Murphy's head. But usually it's just like, well, that was like gross. I don't want to look at that.
Yeah, like this wiggling pigtails or whatever. It's ew. Yeah, that's the thing. That was unsettling. But last week, compared to the woods, woods. But yeah, this week I wasn't even scared by the woods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I thought the pyre with the pig was kind of interesting.
The one where it was the pig man, or
no, the one they found, and they knocked it down. I do want to, you said to me off air that you thought Cuban Gooding Jr. did better this episode, and I can agree with that for sure. Anything else you want to say about the actors?
Definitely Cuba Gooding Jr. He had more to do.
Yeah.
I guess he just did more.
Yeah.
Other than I'm in a car and I'm speeding.
Yeah.
Especially since he was the subject of the nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. He experienced something. So now it's not just like, Shelby's crazy.
Yeah.
I think I'm good on the... I do have something to say about the actors. Yeah. So going back to the top of the episode, we heard Kathy Bates, you know, being the leader, I guess, of these...
Roanokeans.
Colonists. Colonists, cultists.
Yeah.
Saying
human
that the guy...
Human sacrificists.
Yeah. So the guy they were sacrificing, he tried to leave, abandon, you know, and then they put the pig head on him.
Yeah, because he's like a dirty sinner.
Yeah.
And then he starts squealing. That was sort of interesting, yeah.
He starts squealing like a pig through it, and they roast him like a pig.
Yeah.
And you see a few other, I think there are a few other people that are returning back to American Horror Story. And one of them, there's this woman with long hair. You didn't notice her.
No.
Long hair and like creepy eyes and like freaky looking teeth. Pretty sure that was Lady Gaga.
Okay.
She was, I think she even scared Shelby in the woods.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was hard to get a look at her.
This is a slight non sequitur, but I thought it was interesting. This is Ryan Murphy related, at least. I thought it was interesting. They debuted a Lady Gaga music video during Scream Queens.
During Scream
Queens? Like during the commercials of Scream Queens.
Oh, so, what is it called? Illusion?
Whatever it was.
Something
Illusion. But I just thought that was interesting because obviously that he also does Scream Queens. He has the connection with her.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah.
Trying to bump up those Scream Queens numbers. Not sure how they succeeded.
Considering I'm pretty sure that music video debuted on YouTube, I think, earlier this week.
Oh, did it?
Pretty sure.
Yeah. Well, it acted like it was exclusive. So maybe it went on right after or something.
Maybe it was on right after. I know I saw it trending on YouTube, but I didn't watch it yet.
Yeah.
And I think, who was it? Wes Bentley that we saw? also as a colonist, interesting. Maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. This colonist thing's like, do you want to talk about the pig stuff from season one, now that we've done some more research on that?
Right. Well, basically, I never went back and rewatched it, but it was this butcher who would put on, so from what I remember, it was the actor who plays Cam in...
And Modern Family. Yeah.
He comes as a patient, and he's afraid of this myth of urban legend of the pig man. And it was this butcher who would put on a pig head before slaughtering the pigs, and then the pigs still killed him. And now if you do kind of a Bloody Mary, here, piggy, piggy, or something like that in the mirror, the pig man...
The pig man arrives.
And I think that actor, he does that, and then he's killed by the pig man. Yeah. So that's another parallel to season one. It's kind of like... Up to now, every season American Horror Story has been about commenting on American horror tropes or the genre and the different things it builds. Yeah. And now it's like, now I am commenting on my own work.
But is it commenting on or just...
Building on or reflecting?
I mean, they're building on the pigs thing specifically, but I don't think they're commenting or building on what they did as far as... The murder house. They're just redoing it.
Well, I don't know. In a different setting. I suppose, but this is maybe like, this is the next level of American horror. You reboot the horror. I don't know either.
I would be interested if they ever tried to do a take on some of the more meta stuff, because that's something they haven't really done, and that is an American Horror Story trope, you know? Unless we're taught, you know, if you're going to reference Psycho and all the other things, The Exorcist and everything else, you know, that is a current staple.
That's true.
Not even current, but 10 years ago.
Well, yeah. It's Perfect Illusion, by the way, by Lady Gaga. And the audio came up 2 weeks ago and the music video 4 days ago. So I think that's when.
Yeah. We're recording on Saturday, so that makes sense.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, I should actually, now that we're mentioning Scream Queens, we should say we're doing two mini podcasts this week. We're going to talk about Scream Queens after this on a separate episode. We're going to probably do about a half hour on each of them. So, we're getting there with American Horror Story. What else do we want to talk about?
Well, I was just going to say, we should call this the Murphy cast.
I know, seriously.
Well, we could talk more about Professor Cunningham? Cunningham, what he saw.
Yeah.
About those nurses, specifically. The nurses,
yeah. It was, I think this was, like, fun. It's like, we talked about what's fun. This was campy and over the top, and it was fun.
Oh, they were so, the nurses were so over the top. Yeah. Like, cackling, they shot a freaking woman in the head.
Yeah.
Like, wrote murder.
Murder. I'm gonna murder you.
So some people are also pointing out that you don't know this, but in Hotel there was they used the Shining carpet in a few hallways, I think, or maybe all of the hallways. I don't remember. So it was, you know, call back to the Shining, classic The Shining. Yeah. And now in Murder House, not only do we have twins, but we also have murder attempted to be written on the wall as opposed to red rum.
So
it's like, all right, well, still got some more callbacks. And we know that in Scream Queens last season, he also did a callback to The Shining.
Yeah.
So he's honoring the master.
Yeah. Though I will say that also, especially given the whole new Blair Witch movie coming out and stuff, if they get through this season... in the woods without some sort of homage or something connecting to Blair Witch, I'd be pretty shocked. It seems like a pretty obvious go-to.
Yeah. You know? You don't feel like that was last week?
Just like she was in the woods?
I don't know. I haven't seen Blair Witch. By the way, Dan didn't make me watch Blair Witch.
I did
Project.
Not make her watch Blair Witch. I watched it with some other friends, and we're going to go to Blair, the new Blair Witch, soon and do a podcast comparing and contrasting.
It will not be me. I'm so happy now.
I've accepted your cowardice.
Thank you. Should. So, all right.
We need some, if you guys want us to keep talking about this, we're going to need some feedback so that we have things to actually talk about, because not that much happened in this episode.
No, it really didn't. I will say, we could talk about Flora's friend, Priscilla.
Yeah.
I guess.
Dumb.
Well, she found the Lee found the bonnet when the vase broke, and then there were the knives in the ceiling. Like, there's a whole lot of crazy going on. Yeah. Like, what are these ghosts capable of doing? Are they ghosts or is it the...
Well, that's the thing is, I was so sure last week that it was time-traveling things, but then with the reenactment of the nurses, I was like, well, this just seems like ghosts now.
I would say is still a layering of, like, time travel because it was in that physical location of where the murder was.
So do
was
you think
written.
He was, like, seeing a temporal shift or something and they just couldn't see
so
him?
So I would say yes to that, but then they appear in front of Lee's bed while she's having her drunken nightmare.
Yeah.
And then Lee sees the pig man or a pig man. Yeah. I don't know how many there are.
And honestly, what would really be that much of a difference between if they were ghosts or if they were time travel? I mean, I guess the difference would be you could kill them, but
yeah, I guess.
Like, it would be kind of interesting if, like, so we know that the nurses, after, you know, making this into their murder house, they disappeared. It would be kind of interesting if them disappearing in, what was it, the 80s or whatever, if they ended up having actually been killed by Shelby or something like that.
Interesting.
Because of the time displacement.
Yeah.
Like, that could be interesting.
It could. I don't know if... You said you like rules.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's potentially already breaking so many rules, but I don't know for sure.
Well, it doesn't... Well, that's the thing. They have to intrigue me with the idea of rules. It doesn't feel like there are any rules at all right now. It seems like we're just going to throw some teeth at you. We're going to have an imaginary friend. We're going to have this pig man. We're going to have... Like, we're gonna have this girl's thing be way up in the air. It's like, how the hell did that happen?
Yeah.
And
the tree was covered with blood, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that. Maybe sap.
Flying pig man, when pigs fly.
Sure. It's happened.
I'm gonna do a random tangent here, because we have nothing really to talk about. You mentioned the bonnet thing.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of when I visited my sister in college. She was reading these short stories that somebody wrote in her short story class, and there was something about these two. It was set at like a Quaker village or something, and there was a line early in the short story about how someone felt almost naked when they weren't wearing their bonnet, and then it ended up there's like this secret like lesbian thing, and at the end of the thing he goes, "Take off your bonnet," and it's like symbolic.
Okay, I'm going to bring us back to American Horror Story, because Dan is losing it.
Yes.
So a lot of people are pissed off that Evan Peters hasn't showed up yet.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of, like,
I mean, hasn't he kind of left his mark?
What do you mean?
On this series.
He definitely has. So
if he, like, became more of a background thing for this season, I don't think that really that big a deal.
I mean, he's the draw for a lot of people.
Really?
He is. Huh. People our age, or not our age, but like younger than
teens. You're talking about because he's like a hottie with a body?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Meh.
You want him to take off his bonnet.
So badly. I actually really liked him last season. I think you'd agree he was really good in season one.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's just the thing of him, he's appearing in the credits, but no sign of him, and we still don't have a name for Kathy Bates' character. We still don't have any more information. I was actually pretty annoyed that they left us on that cliffhanger.
And then just gave us a little taste of it
and
went away.
And that's it.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, if you're calling it Roanoke.
Yeah.
Show us the Roanokeans. Like, stop, you know, you're building up kind of the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
With Priscilla, I guess, or the twins, even though the twins were actually my favorite part of the episode.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is that, okay, so we have Shelby and, was it Matt?
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to, like, we're going to fight back. It's nice that they at least got a cop to stay outside, even though it felt like he was kind of disappeared at points. Like, why didn't he follow them when they ran outside after things and found the cellar and stuff like
that?
Like,
wasn't he supposed to be there, or is he only out there at night when they feel...
Yeah.
You know?
And they try to get us to accept that they're not leaving by repeatedly being like, oh, it's our whole life savings. And then we have the whole thing with the bank guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? I could maybe accept this if I didn't already have to accept this back in season one when it was stupid. Like, you know, like, it's just like another, like, he has a current job. He has a paycheck. Go check into a hotel until you can figure out your next step.
Or
get a
rent
really
a place.
Yeah, get a really where does Lee live? Go hang out where Lee lives until you can afford a shitty apartment.
Yeah, I guess.
Like,
yeah, no, I was thinking
take out an insurance policy on the house and light it on fire. I gotta, like,
whoa, that would be suspect, but maybe more interesting of, like, they burn it down and for whatever reason it's still,
yeah,
get rebuild as, I don't know. And they're still promising us more of this Polk family stuff.
Yeah, that's weird that they haven't really been popping out as much.
Well, that's the idea of, like, we need to find them, we need to find them. And now it's making me think, well, maybe they're gonna help Shelby and Matt, because they know something's up and they think they know how to defeat this evil.
That'd be interesting.
But I kind of am, I know it's stupid, but this episode is kind of so slow.
Yeah.
In so many ways, even though it had a lot of, it still had a lot of stuff happen.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just kind of in a very dissimilar vein from last week.
I honestly, I kind of disagree with you. I felt like it was similar. It was more of the same. And last week it felt fun and new. And this week I'm like, oh, this is all you can do. This is all it is. Like,
yeah,
the same three characters, only less intelligent and,
like, less in line with their previous actions.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the way I say it's less of the same is that it didn't have that fear. It didn't have.
Yeah.
You're right, actually. Yeah. So, it's making me ready to feel like, all right, I'm ready for the craziness, the shit to hit the fan, the stuff that makes me go like, what? Like, bring it back, because now I'm just bored. And maybe it could be that if this was any other show, I wouldn't be bored. If it wasn't titled American Horror Story, if it wasn't in this vein. But, you know, this is what I kind of expect from the show, some shit to hit the fan. And I don't feel like it's there yet, because, specifically because I see that the subjects in the future, and that is limiting my what the fuck it to
Well, and also, like, I don't know, there was something, I mean, there's got to be some innate thing, which is the fact that we're on season six now, right? That it's harder to shock at this point, and it's harder also to shock when this is kind of the same, they're retreading old ground just in a different location. And so it's, I don't know. It's harder. It's also, I feel like it's less stylized, too. Like, wasn't some of the horror just, like, this incredible, like, stylization of season one?
I don't know if it was the horror, but it was the intrigue.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the drawing point where I was like, yes, I want to see more of Lady Gaga wearing crazy outfits. I want to see the moodiness of these characters. And even if it got that got annoying at some point and it felt like we were building on that, at least we had that baseline that was a predictor for something. I guess I don't know.
I think so okay, so moving on to, like, a separate topic, as far as thinking about things coming down the line, they mentioned that before the nurses, there was a family there that disappeared. Do you remember if they said there was a kid there? Because I'm wondering if Evan Peters could be the kid that disappeared.
Interesting.
Or,
again.
Yeah.
No, I would say, didn't they just say that they left and didn't leave a forwarding address? So it's not necessarily that they got murdered. It's
like
that they
all their stuff was gone.
Screw this. We're not going to pay the mortgage on this. We're going to abandon this place because it is not worth it. And we want no connection
whatsoever. I don't know. On this show, I think they're dead.
I think they died. I mean, that's what I was thinking. I'm just saying that it's not necessarily
I just think it makes the most sense if they're trying to layer in these multi-generational things. I think we're going to see that family in the house. I think it's more likely we see their memory, like shadows of them, than that we see them come back and help them or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, also, do you think, so we've been seeing these videos of the professor.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to see his, like, ghost or temporal displacement or what, like?
So that's something I'm looking forward to, because I don't want that to be the end of Dennis O'Hare.
Yeah.
I want to see more of
it. I think we will.
Better. Yeah. We freaking better, because he's so far my favorite part. His manic acting is always so good.
Yeah.
So I've actually been reading. I found something to read, and it turns out that Roanoke is connected to Freak Show.
Okay.
And one of the big bads, I don't know if I would call him the big bad, but one of the big bads of Freak Show was a character named Dan DeMott.
Okay.
So fun. played by Finn Wittrock. And apparently in Roanoke, we are, so the Mott family, like, they're wealthy, they're established, and this takes place in Jupiter, Florida, so they have old money.
Yeah.
So we're gonna see the origins of the Mott family.
Okay.
Or some of the origins. So that'll be interesting, of, like, how they began and how they got their money, I assume.
Okay, interesting.
As in, you know, well, that's actually very true of a lot of old money, is it happened when the first families came to the Americas and built up.
Oh, so that far back. We're going to see them as part of the colonists.
Well, I'm assuming we're going to see them as part of the colonists, but I'm saying, you know, we've had that even in Scream Queens where they say, well, our family came on the Mayflower, and they're like the wealthy families. Yeah. And I'm saying, well, this has some ties to reality of like a prestigious historic...
Well, it's a fun little throw-in for the fans.
Yeah, it's a tease of things will get crazy, because guess what? This was a crazy character. Remember? Yeah. Remember how fun and weird he was? And psycho?
And how this season isn't as fun?
No, not really. But it'll happen. It'll happen. Like, that's the thing. I keep feeling like I'm being promised. It'll happen. It'll happen. Another connection to Freak Show is that clearly Kathy Bates has an insane accent. I know you didn't watch it, but she was trying to do an obscure Baltimore accent, and it was almost unlistenable. And now she has her old English thing going on, and I don't really take her seriously. Oh, well.
Just to encourage people to write in at thescreamcast@gmail.com, I'm going to read this one from James McAvoy.
Okay.
His email. You remember I told you, he emailed in about, so I just want to say thank you, because he listens to like a bunch of our stuff and commented on a bunch of stuff. I'm just going to read the little American Horror Story thing. All he said was, yes, I'm so happy when I saw that you podcasted about the premiere. You guys are on point as usual. I'm very excited for this season, which hasn't been the case for the past two seasons. I hope you guys keep podcasting my American Horror Story. I'm so here for this. So thank you. I'm glad you're enjoying. I hope you still enjoy despite our not so positive feelings about episode two, but hopefully it wins us back in episode three.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so send us more feedback, thescreamcast@gmail.com. check us out on Twitter @screampod. You can leave us comments there. Check out our blog, thescreamcast.wordpress.com. please rate us or review us on iTunes. That will get us to do more podcasts, because we'll be excited. Any other things?
Check out our previous podcasts, including on season one of Scream Queens. We will be releasing an episode on the season premiere of Scream Queens. If you have any feedback on that as well, you can send it in, and keep an eye on that popping up in your
popping
feeds.
Popping
in your popping feeds. You distracted me. I was like, why is he saying popping?
Popping. All right. Scream you later, guys.
Scream you later.